Hey, praise God. Glad you're here with us today. Book of Acts. This is the great training. Jesus said, I will build my church, and that's you. It's you and I. We're baptized with the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, and we are alive in Him, and He's in us. And today is that day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. As Jeremiah said in Lamentations, His mercies are new every day. I want to touch on the Gospels. Before we get into the verse-by-verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts, all of this, everything we're doing right now is leading up to that, and you'll see these emphasized again and again. But the backdrop, that's when Luke is being guided to write the book of Acts. Well, he wrote the Gospel of Luke. So it's all about the gospel. So there's a Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of John. And each, and I'm reading some articles, why do we need four? Well, there's a perspectives in the context of the gospel, the fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies, Messiah, King of the Jews, the emphasis in reaching them. It has been fulfilled. How many times are we going to see that in the book of Matthew? The fulfillment of prophecy and the, you know, this is He whom the prophets have spoken about. This is He whom we read throughout all the Old Testament. All these prophecies, He comes now to be in fulfillment of. So when you think in terms of the four Gospels, I want you to think in terms of each one, and again, guided by the Spirit of God, but as they're being led to give a perspective and emphasis with the centrality, of course, being Jesus, being the Messiah, the Savior, and what God has done. So we got to remember this goes back to Genesis 3:15. This goes back to the promise right after the fall of the human race. This goes all the way back. And then we see God in His engagement with Abraham, then eventually the creation of Israel. And then there's the Old Testament and prophets and Israel and, well, the amazing, we sometimes call it progressive revelation, God breaking back in, God engaging a fallen, broken world in which Satan has rights. The God of this world, this age, who blinds minds of unbelievers. So we, you and I, we're living that world, and we have the privilege, the joy, the again, the massive knowledge. I think if you read in the Gospel of John at one point, if in, you know, when it comes down to Jesus, all that He is, all that He spoke, all that He did, if they were to try to write every detail, there wouldn't be enough room for all the books. So we have four. It's not overdone. It's in one sense, there could have been so much more in a sense. But again, God being the selector, God being the one that selected every ounce of Scripture and truth that we have. Nothing's lost, nothing to be added for sure. So let's think in terms of, because if we're going to be, you're saved by the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. Now, Paul says this in the front of in front of all of Rome. And this is the great, to him, the gospel is bigger. It's so vast, bigger than all of Rome and bigger than all of its Pax Roma and training and teaching and military and emperor worship and pucatoriums and all the rest that Rome had. Bigger than all that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. In the gospel is an inherent power. And with that comes the work of the Spirit of God to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Spirit of God to point everybody to. And let's remember Romans 10. How can they believe on whom they've not heard? That's why I love sometimes giving out the Gospels of John. We call it the universal gospel. Or, I mean, the entire thing is kind of like a tract. It's written that you might believe, and that by believing, you have eternal life. That's the conclusion in the Gospel of John. The I am statements. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am that I am. I mean, You know, before Abraham was, I am. So we have, so let me just give a little summary of each. And let me encourage you before we get into chapter 1 and the details moving into the book of Acts, because that's going to take about 28 weeks. That's going to take, you know, we're going to do a chapter a week basically in the book of Acts. And that you're going to find that we're going to connect it from all of Scripture, Scripture interpreting Scripture. All that's going to come into play. But it's also going to be that field manual, the example of what right here, right now, that same Savior is doing in your life and in mine. So the Gospel of Matthew, traditionally penned by Matthew, of course, is first of the four, clearly written in the sense of the Old Testament to the Jews, in the sense that those who are familiar with the Old Testament. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, if you're familiar with the prophets and the prophecies, if you have known about who's to come, so you're going to see that in the very beginning. You're going to see where Jesus says, Matthew 5, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." That's what he's done, and he's done that. So this is where Jesus is King of the Jews, and the emphasis on the teachings of Jesus. And, well, I think the big emphasis for me is the constant fulfillment. The prophecies are fulfilled. And to see that happen again and again and the connection. And so that's one of the things you can do when you go through the Gospel of Matthew is to circle that and to look at the perspective and to look at how it begins, how it ends. Very big, that in Luke, of course, huge of the Gospels. And that's what I think we should be thinking of. Now, I'm looking in just some of my overall training materials that I look at. Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew is the Son of God. He is the King. He's the promised Savior. And as you go through, you're going to see just the parables, the fulfilling of promises, the obvious life of Jesus. The connection to Abraham and to all of the prophets and all that was going to be, you know, Isaiah, the amazing connection to the book of Isaiah. And I think that's, I just think that's part of the beauty of that gospel as Jesus, King of the Jews, King, Messiah. Now, if we go to the Gospel of Mark, I love the Gospel of Mark because of its dynamic. He's suffering servant, the authority, but there's a sense of dynamic that we see them astonished. We see them running after him. They see it's like they're just amazed at him. Gospel of Mark reminds me of the hymn, you know, not just Amazing Grace, but I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. So it's the shortest. And it's one that I think good to give to non-believers. It does start off with the idea of, again, fulfillment. He's here in fulfillment. So the gospel includes it all. It goes all the way back to Genesis, creation, the fall, and all of what God has done to step in and then to come here, in which we'll see in John's gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. But Gospel of Mark, to see the dynamic moving of Jesus, the proclamation, the engagement, the healings, the engagement of the demons, Mark 5. And actually, if you look at Mark's Gospel chapter 1, if you look at, just read the first chapter, it's like, that's a miniature look at the entire Gospel of Mark. And that's good for the soul winner. That's good for the evangelist. That's good for the realization that as you're a servant of God, you're going to see people astonished. And I believe this, and I, to this day, as we go out to do all that Jesus, you know, tells us to do in the mission, I still get astonished, amazed at what he does. The way he leads, the way he guides, the way prayer answers come about right there in your face when you're on the field, when you're out there. So out there, just like in Acts, when they're out there on that field moving, well, that's that Jesus, that King Jesus of Matthew, that amazing Jesus of Mark is in you, with you, all around you, operative, active, and you will see him. Well, then there's the Gospel of Luke, obviously written by Luke, the same one of the book of Acts. As you read in the beginning of the book of Acts, he had a former treatise. He wrote about all, you know, Jesus, all that he began to do and to teach. Luke's gospel, he is the savior. There's a historical picture to this. It's very teaching oriented, very and this is the only non-Jewish writer. And so I think that's pretty amazing again in the context of the gospel, you know, being given there. And I love the first four chapters. I love the big picture of the angel when Jesus is born comes in. I have good news of great joy, which is for all the people. A Savior has been born to you. So when I look at that, and I look at the angel's involvement, the Spirit of God's involvement, there's Mary, there's Joseph. That's not just quote unquote a Christmas story. That's history. That's all that God had done for thousands of years in preparation for that visitation, for that Mary would be engaged and an angel would speak to her and the Spirit of God would overshadow her and cause the conception. And then the birth, and then the shepherds and the angels singing, and well, this is an explosive good, that's why I love the Gospel of Luke. Good news of great joy, which is for all the people. A Savior has been born. So we are filled with that kind of this historical look. It has the idea still of the flowing from the Old Testament to the New. But as a non-Jewish writer, you know, we have this Savior to the world, a Savior for all the nations. And him reaching out, a light to the Gentiles. Then we come to the Gospel of John. Now, most have always seen the Gospel of John, the most evangelistically used. You know, I've had hundreds of the Gospels, just the Gospel of John, to hand out. And I do believe it was written for that very purpose. You could take a look at John 20, and you could see that, verse 30, therefore, Jesus did other signs, performed all this in the presence of the disciples. They're not even written in the book. What he spoke and all everything else that he did. But these things, I mean, and if it would put everything down, they wouldn't have enough room for all of it. That's how huge this is. Verse 31 in John 20, but these things have been written so that you may believe. That's what it's all about, that you might believe the gospel. So I want to encourage you, as you look at the Gospel of John, it starts off different than the rest of the Gospels. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, face-to-face, pros, and is God, and has always been God. And yet the Word, God, became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. So that first chapter is massive in its teaching. Jesus, the creator of all things that exist. Jesus, the light coming into the world. Those who receive him, those who believe on him, well, they become the children of God. Born not of natural things or will of men, born of God. So the first three chapters are, you know, just getting a lost friend or family to read the first three chapters, to go over it with somebody. It's pretty amazing. Because by the time you get to chapter 3, God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him. So this is that's the huge message. The gospel is now that's why they call the Gospel of John the universal gospel for all the world. Get that gospel out. So if you want to preach the gospel, knowing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and knowing the distinctives, the certain things they pointed to, well, then the Gospel of John. I do still say it's the one I would use to just hand out, give out. If I witness to somebody, they're not ready to turn. God's ready to save. He's always ready to save. They might not be ready. Well, give them the Gospel of John. Say, listen, man, this is the most important thing. It involves your life, your destiny. It involves the fact that God pursues you, God wants you. Don't you want to read this? and let the word of God that's living, that's active, we read in John, in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Can't get saved without it. Can't get saved without it. Now, I'm going to take you somewhere in a few moments, but as you go through the Gospel of John and see, and again, this nonstop pointing to Jesus, nonstop that he is the door, he is the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. By his own authority, he's going to lay down his life and take it up again. So this is what I think is vital in our knowing. So if you're going to be a servant, if you're going to be clothed with power to unleash the gospel, I mean, look at Peter in Acts 2 when he's filled now with the Holy Spirit. He's going to unleash the gospel and preach the gospel, and thousands are going to get saved. But he does it in the context of the history of the Old Testament moving to the New. And it's amazing. Let me give you one other thing here today for this. Mark it down. Colossians 3:15 and 16. And specifically 16. Listen again to the word of God now. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, the word of Christ. Now, that would throw an emphasis on the Gospels. I have a Bible that has all the words of Jesus. You know, you have Bibles that have all the words of Jesus. Whether you have it all in red or not, you know when he's speaking, but it's kind of interesting. And so this verse right here, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's why I'm emphasizing maybe this week just pouring into. Hold off on the book of Acts. We'll get there. Pour into, you know, go ahead and read Matthew. You're going to be amazed. You'll be able to get through it. But you're also going to be amazed there's so much content to really begin to know that book and to know because the more you know when you are witnessing, maybe you're going to witness to somebody's Jewish. Maybe you're going to witness to somebody that is, they need to hear, because prophecy is part of the evidence of the working of God, the infallibility even of the scripture. So let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let the gospel as a whole, the message of Jesus that goes all the way back to Genesis 3, that has everything to do with Abraham, the creation of Israel, the prophets, Isaiah, even the Psalms and the resurrection of Christ, Isaiah 700 years before he comes, a virgin shall be a child. And so when we read, these are fulfillments, and God intends that to be part of the evidencing, part of the infallible proofs that we read about in Acts chapter 1. So Matthew, the king, Mark, the amazing Jesus, Luke, the historic teaching, healing, engaging Jesus, and then the Gospel of John, the Christ who is for the world. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. See, I don't go, as believers, we don't go around with stones like the Pharisees. Fake religion is all about, they're running around with stones in their hand to crush the sinners. Jesus came to save the sinners like you and me. He came to save. That's the good news. That's the message. And that's why I say on the Ragged Edge Radio all the time, nobody loves you more. Nobody knows you better. Nobody has desired you. Nobody has pursued you the way God does. That's what it's all about. So when we think in terms of letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, that's the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get as much and keep reading and keep looking. And so every time you talk about Jesus, every time you talk about the nature of God, the attributes of God, the immensity of God, you see God in human flesh. Jesus. All creation bows to him and obeys him. The winds and the waves. The demons are shuddering in fear. He heals everything. He walks on water, and he engages and he stuns the fake religionists, the self-righteous. He stuns them. They don't have to do with them. And yet destined for the cross. He comes to go to the cross to be the Savior. The central issue, Colossians 2, he makes a public spectacle. He exposes and triumphs over the dark principalities and powers by what he did at the cross. That's the working. This gospel supersedes the technologies and the informations and the histories and everything else. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the message of the life, the person, the words, the works of Jesus, with a focus on him being the sinless Savior, God in human flesh, who goes to the cross to die for the sins of the world, yours and mine, everyone, the sum total, who's buried just like the scripture said he would be and did, and then raises from the dead, as the scripture shows. And of course, we're going to read in Acts 1, he ascends to go back. He prayed about that in John's Gospel 17. Father, return to me the glory I had with you before the creation of the world. He's going to go back from where he came. Now in John 14, he's coming again. He went off to prepare a place. While you've been listening and we're into this overview in getting into this training, he's been preparing that place, and he's coming again. He's coming for, there's going to be the close of radical evil. Praise God. He alone is going to, no governments, not the sum total. No, he's going to come to end the fallen system, radical evil, sin, devil, death, all of it. Hallelujah. And only he, that same one that died on that cross, he's going to return. So John 14, he's coming for you as a believer so that he can get you. And he take you back home to be with him where he is. Nobody has desired you more, right? Well, this is the Book of Acts training. This is Russ Dizdar. Don't forget shatterthedarkness.net. All the other content that we have there, Ragged Edge Radio broadcast every day. Keep us in your prayers. Even as we are out in teams, and almost every week we're out there in teams in the context of dealing with whatever we're dealing with, abused and whatever, but the centrality is the mission of Jesus and the gospel. And he heals people, and he delivers people, and he restores lives, and he works in amazing ways, and he brings destruction to the enemy. Love you. Blessings to you. Hey, if you at times neglect a little bit, come back and get back into it and relook at it. And depending on when you take a look, if you began this when we did and you're getting it 2, 3, 4, 5 audios per week over months of time, eventually all the audios will be up, probably 80 or more videos and everything else and things like that. I may try to do a conference or two just on this workbook and this training that we offer you to come in and to engage, and we may even send you out as part of the training and put you out in the streets and door to door and every other place. But here's what I know: that same Jesus is with you wherever you can look at it in Joshua 1:9. You can see it in Jesus, the Great Commission. If we do that, if we are out there, then we're confident. And I'm telling you experientially, 40 years out there, Jesus said, I am with you. He is with us. He is always operative with us, working all the way to the end of the age. So blessings to you. Prayers, may God engage, and may the Lord Jesus bless, and may your prayers be just powerful and thunderous today to the glory of God. And we'll see you in the next audio.